Brother Darrell, thank you for the work you put into the Haftarah and all the things that Abba, thank you, Abba, all the things you bring him.
This Haftarah for Devarim is known as Haftarot Shilashit Devarim Nitot, which literally means the Haftarah, the third Haftarah to the trouble. It is coincides with the ninth of Av. And I'll get into that. I'm going to have Paul go ahead and read Isaiah 1:1-27.
The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, the kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. The Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. The sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city, until unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have become like made like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I did not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Shabbats, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice, righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers, your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. Therefore, the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, ah, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. I will restore your judges as at the first and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you should be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with justice and her penitence with righteousness.
Thank you. This Haftarah is so full of metaphor that I could have spent weeks breaking down the metaphor of this judgment. I will just say, though, he says one thing I want to bring to mind. This is one of the harshest admonitions to the trouble, which is the translated word admonition. This is one of the harshest there is as we approach. Today is 9th of Av, by the way, in the Hebrew calendar. But he says, if you did not have a remnant left, you would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. So this is telling us that there's enough people. How many people came out of Sodom? How many people came out of Gomorrah? Right. He's telling us that there's a remnant, that had they not had a remnant, that they would, that would be it. It's dust and radiation. That's going to be it. But he's telling, out of all of this admonition, there's hope. What is the ninth of Av, the Jewish calendar? A lot of bad things happen on ninth of Av. And synagogues all around the world, this Haftarah is a special reading. Why the ninth of Av? Because a lot of bad things happen on ninth of Av. And I'm going to just give you a few here. It started with the spies returning from the land and giving a bad report. I don't know. I had to think about that. Why was that such a bad thing? Because how does God himself send his people into a land and they come back and say, in essence, what they said were, you're wrong. That land is dangerous. You were wrong. That is a finger in the face of God when those spies came back. And I would not want to be anywhere standing near those people when they were given the report. Both the first and the second temple were destroyed on the ninth of Av. The Bar Kochba rebellion that happened was crushed at the Battle of Betar. It happened on the ninth of Av. That basically concluded the full diaspora from the land. That was it. Rome had crushed Israel, Judah, Samaria, and everyone was on the run. Also, after that, the Romans plowed over the Temple Mount. They basically wanted to make sure it was flat. In 1290, the Jews were expelled from England on the 9th of Av. In 1492, a familiar year, Jews were banished from Spain. Many in the Orthodoxy believe that both world wars became world wars on the 9th of Av. That the circumstances that took the multiple conflicts that led up to it, that the catalyst that made it a world war, both world wars became world wars on the 9th of Av. Prior to being on the road to Damascus, Rabbi Shaul, basically was the tormentor of the way. We're familiar with that. We can agree? We're good? Okay. So how do I link up this Brit Hadashah, the Brit Hadashah, how do I link up this Haftarah with this Brit Hadashah? And it's this. Paul is the personification of the level of corruption in the Brit Hadashah. What the Brit Hadashah is describing is corruption from the top down. The prophets are falsely prophesying. Everybody from the top to the bottom is corrupt. They're not taking care of the widows, they're not taking care of the orphans or whatever. So here's what I basically looked at. The powers that be at the time of Rabbi Shaul persecuting the way before he was transformed and struck blind on the road to Damascus affirmed his threatening manner and his violent behavior was sanctioned by the high priest, sanctioned by the Sanhedrin, sanctioned by the powers that be, allowed by the Romans, allowed by the elders of Israel. Not only did they allow it, which is just allowing it, or just ignoring it, is given tacit approval. In other words, I'm going to just turn my back and let you do it. I'm just not going to say anything. They put it in writing. They gave him official letters from the Sanhedrin. They put it in writing. So I would think about that before you put something in writing. You know, if it's going to be something important, my wife has letters that I wrote to her when I met her. You know, and it's a little scary now when you read that stuff and like, wow, I said that. You're going to be, she'll remind you, she'll remind me and you of what I wrote if anything ever goes wrong. And you have to ask yourself, how did Paul get to do these things. He was funded. He was funded by the saints. They found the money. They let him do it. So that's the link between the Haftarah. I believe the ninth of Av is a catalyst for the creation of the Haftarah itself. And here's what I want to go through. So going through a little bit of the history of it, what is the Haftarah? Well, it means a parting or a taking leave. And that's fancy English words for basically, I want to part unto you a teaching. I want to take leave and give you this information. So it's really a giving of information. It's selected words from the Nevi'im, where you get the word Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, which is Torah, prophets, and writings in that order. Okay, and there's a reason for the order. The Torah is paramount. The Torah is the number one. What you have sitting with you, you would not see happen in most Judaism. They will not attach books of the prophets and books of the writings with the Torah because they are not on the same level to be bound together. They had scrolls of the five books of Moses and then scrolls of the prophets and then scrolls of the writings. And is it biblical? Well, let's look at it. Luke 4:16, Yeshua is visiting a synagogue in Nazareth. I'll let you look this up and read it on your own. On Shabbat, which says, as was his custom. So Yeshua went to synagogues and he went on Shabbat, as was his custom. So when people say that customs aren't important, I will say that the custom of Yeshua is important. So before you condemn, you separate customs from Torah and condemn customs and lord Torah over it, it's customs are important if they are biblical. And he was handed a scroll of a book of Isaiah. Now, I don't know what the context of this, the full context of this was. And he was asked to open it and read it. And that's when he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recover of sight to the blind and set free the oppressed and to proclaim the year of Adonai's favor." That's not the Torah. That's the prophets. Okay, the split of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sadducees did not recognize any prophets after Moses. So how do we know they were wrong? Because when Yeshua came, he read from his own prophets. Okay? So why didn't he read from the Torah? Why didn't he read from the five books of Moses? If anybody would like to guess. I think number one is his intention was to validate his prophets. He validated his prophets because he says after that, he sits down after closing the very specific language. He closes the scroll, hands it back to the attendant, and he sits down and tells him, "This day, this prophet is fulfilled in your ears." That's interesting. I wanted to really pursue that "in your ears" thing, but I didn't have time to do that. But so I believe he gave great validation to the prophets. So we know that the Sadducees were wrong, that God himself, because he says in Matthew 23:34, Yeshua himself said, "Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men and scribes. Some of them you kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city." Why is the Haftarah important? Well, Yeshua validated the Haftarah. He read the Haftarah that day. But you know, we just read that prophets prophesied falsely. That was part of the condemnation and this admonition, right? Well, you know, I'll tell you, you don't counterfeit something that's not valuable. The only things that are counterfeited in this world or things that are very valuable. And Hasatan mimics God in sending false prophets. So we know that prophecies are valuable to Yeshua and valuable to God because he's counterfeiting prophets and sending them into the world for confusion and to place people in the darkness. Matthew 24:11 says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." So that's how I know that the Haftarah is biblical, because Yeshua himself read the Haftarah portion. He read from the book of prophets. He parted unto everyone there at that synagogue the Haftarah. So the Haftarah, the typical way that in ancient Israel that services went was there was a reading from the Torah. Then there was a reading from the Haftarah, and then there was a homily or a sermon, or somebody to tie it together. But it's kind of interesting. I think it's out of order. The people who wrote that, and that did not come from Scripture. The reason why is the person that read from the Haftarah is known as the Maftir. I guess I'm the Maftir here. So, and what Maftir means is the concluder. Well, the conclusion comes last. So I think that you had the reading of the Torah, you had an expounding by the rabbis on the Torah, then I believe that the Maftir came up and concluded it with a Haftarah teaching. And then it was followed by several Baruchot, which is several praises, that tended to ask God for the fulfillment of prophecy. Why? Well, we're talking about prophets. So they're praying for they read the prophets and they ask for fulfillment of God's prophecy. Where did the selection of the Haftarah portion begin? Well, some believe that it started in the 14th century, but I think we just read that that's probably not true. It probably began before Yeshua was even there. They already knew to hand someone a book of the prophets, and they handed him the book of the prophets, opened it up, and he read it. So it seems to be an established practice already that this is going on when Yeshua arrives. The Babylonian Talmud, which I don't speak of that as an authority, but as a historical reference, suggests that the Haftarah would resemble the Torah reading of the day. For example, in Exodus 15, the Torah portion features the song sung by the Israelites when they witnessed the parting of the sea to cross over. The Haftarah portion that corresponds to that is the song of Devorah, who sang in response to the military victory of her and Barak. So there's songs and there's victory. So you have the song comes after the parting of the sea, and you have a song from a military victory. And the same thing, you have the 12 scouts sent out by Moses in one Torah portion, and then the Haftarah portion that follows that, and we read that earlier this year, is the two spies sent to Jericho. So not all Torah communities share the same Haftarah selection in relation to certain Shabbats or holidays, but for the most part, it generally lines up. Since Maftir is concluder, is literally the word means concluder, I guess you could say I get the last word. So I'm honored. But right now, the selection of the Haftarah is generally determined by calendar or historical events. Some believe Haftarah dates go back to the time of Moses. It'd be interesting to search out. So that concludes the Haftarah teaching. I could have expounded on the content of the Haftarah itself. There's a lot in there. I highly recommend you. Everything that I do, you can do too. You can go search out these metaphors and everything. So thank you for allowing me to be your Maftir. Thank you.